The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
This is a Roundtable Rewind.
I am going to admit to being way wrong on this. I'm not alone in being wrong on it. I don't know who else will remind you that they were wrong on it. I can't speak for them. I didn't think Bruce Pearl would make the conference season this year. And there were a lot of people, and believe this if you will or not, a lot of people inside the Auburn Athletic Department, and maybe even Bruce Pearl himself, who had really no idea how long they would be coaching last season. You don't say maybe Bruce Pearl. You heard Bruce Pearl say it.
When you first hear reports that he's not cooperating with the university's internal investigation, you were like, well, how long can this last?
And then when the athletic director openly says, look, it's been a great season, but at some point, Bruce is going to have to talk to us. You know, we appreciate what Coach Pearl's done, but he's going to have to talk to us. That just really looked like a tenuous situation there at Auburn. And then when Bruce Pearl does the interview with Jeff Goodman, and it was kind of a campaign piece, really. It was kind of a, you know, here's what I've done. I want to be here forever. I'd like for them to, you know, they don't have to name a street after me. They don't have to name the court after me. Maybe the Pearly Gates, you know.
Right.
That was basically him saying, not necessarily begging for his job, but making a campaign to keep his job. And I don't know, man. I did not think we would have this day, but good for Bruce Pearl and great for Auburn.
I will tell you, you see the headline of Alan Green shakes up Auburn's athletic department, six administrators fired. And that wakes you up, too. That was the other big news from Alan Green, the AD at Auburn yesterday. But a lot of that, the core of that goes back to the softball incident where you had the assistant coach dating a player and the almost mutiny of the team getting on the bus, not and the corralling and slash cover-up attempt of that that went on. There was a lot of that cloud over those administrative moves yesterday. Headline looks probably a little worse than what actually went down yesterday. Some of those were expected moves by the athletic department.
Yeah, I mean, I think you conduct your interviews. If you're Alan Green, you make sure, you know, you weren't athletics director for a lot of that, right?
Right. This one of the reasons you're here
is because of that. Yeah.
Because of that.
This one was handed to you when you took the job. Hey, congratulations. Here's some good neighborhoods to live. Here's the schools we suggest. Great place to eat right there. Try the tumors lemonade. And oh, by the way, here are the things you're going to have to deal with in the first few months.
Here's a sheet of 10 people.
Yeah.
How many of these do you have to get rid of?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're Alan Green, you got to do your homework on that. You got to make sure all the boxes are checked so that any of these six people don't come back and sue you and end up costing you your job. So I think that's what he was doing there. And obviously the work got done and he unloaded six yesterday.
So that was Auburn yesterday off the field. On the field, I guess it was off the field, but it's an athlete that's still playing. It was a historic day. Casey Mize was the number one overall pick in the amateur baseball draft. Yesterday, Mize goes number one to the Detroit Tigers as expected. And after being picked number one overall, the first in Auburn history, not Bo Jackson, not Frank Thomas.
Which is amazing.
Not Tim Hudson.
Hall of Famer Frank Thomas, by the way. Future.
Tim Hudson could be
there. Future Hall of Famer Tim Hudson.
Bo Jackson should have been there.
Yeah.
If he'd have played one sport and stayed healthy, he'd have been there. But here's Casey Mize, number one overall. And afterwards, he gives the reaction on being the first pick by the Detroit Tigers.
Probably the best moment of my life. I don't know. I just reminisce on, you know, the long days and the hard work and, you know, all these people that have supported me to this point. And, you know, all of that's running through my mind. And I don't know. I just couldn't be happier right now. I'm very excited.
So Casey Mize goes number one overall, and he's off to the Detroit Tigers. We'll talk more about that later on in the show as we move on. Yesterday was such a news day, and there was sad news as well. We lost Dwight Clark at age 61. From ALS, the guy who made the catch. It's known as the catch back in 1982.
You once argued with me that the play was a little overrated. I mean, this is, I know a difficult time to bring up that subject on the passing of Dwight Clark, and we feel awful for his family, but.
Yeah, I mean.
It's the way this show works. You argued with me that the play was overrated.
No, I argued with you that Montana to Clark, Montana's part of that. was overrated. It was sort of a poorly thrown ball. Dwight Clark had to save his sausage there. He was throwing it. I mean, it was very close to being in row four.
So it was a little like Tungavaloa's pass in the end zone that looked like it might be intended for Najee Harris, but Calvin Ridley came in and snatched it. That's going to be different, huh?
Well, I don't know what was going through Tua's head. Montana was throwing it where I guess the only place that Dwight Clark could catch it and the Cowboys couldn't. It was a big moment, I know, in sports history.
Right. I mean, it's an iconic moment. It's maybe the greatest play in San Francisco 49ers history.
I mean,
that's a pretty good history.
It's not Lynn Swann juggling in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And holding on. That's a tougher catch. It's not Tyree holding on to a fourth down catch against his helmet to lead the Giants to the Super Bowl. It was an NFC championship catch, sending the Niners to the Super Bowl. But degree of difficulty, I'm not going to put it. I mean, Clark had to climb a ladder. Montana's one of the greatest of all times. I probably could have thrown a better pass.
It's just a weird stance by you. I've never heard anybody else have that same stance.
To be honest with you, it's been so long, I don't remember why I was so defiant.
I don't know, but that's exactly what you said. It was back in our AM days, because I remember thinking, wow, Dunaway. I mean, this is maybe before I knew that the St. Louis Arch was disappointing and the Chaps for the Texas Cheerleaders were disappointing and Graceland was disappointing.
Well, when you call something the catch.
Right. You don't call it the pass.
First down.
If you could be one sports figure for a major sporting event like, say, Tiger Woods at the Masters or whatever, who and what would it be?
Tiger Woods at the Masters. Thank you. Next.
Like Tiger Woods at the Masters.
Yes, no. I would be any great golfer at the Masters, but I would have been Patrick Reed. As much as people hate him, you know what I would have if people hated me? A green jacket. I'd be Patrick Reed at the Masters. I'd be Tiger. I'd be Spieth. I'd be anybody at the Masters.
So not the U.S. Open. The Masters. Is it for you?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's that way for most golfers?
Yes. I would say if you lined up 1,000 professional golfers and said, and Bun knows a lot of golf too, you lined up 1,000 professional golfers and said, you get to pick one major. I'm going to say out of the 1,850 would pick the Masters. Would you say that's about right, Bun?
I would.
You'd have some of those European guys that might go British, but I'd say about 850 would say the Masters.
I'm going to surprise you here. And do I have to be on the field? I don't have to be on the field, right? I can be a general manager.
Sure.
Can I be a general manager? I would love to be an NFL general manager. Sort of the role Phil Savage had back in the day. And Ozzie Newsome has had. I'd like to run an NFL franchise.
More than be a Hall of Fame quarterback, more than be Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, you'd rather be Scott Pioli in the Super Bowl?
If I had, I'd like to build that. You know, I'd like to be able if I could get somebody else to go fire the guys and cut them. I'm bad at firing people. If I get somebody else to be the cut guy.
Oh, wow. So Dunaway wants to be the general manager, but let the assistant GM do all the cuts.
Hey,
does it via Instagram?
Yes.
Hey, Ryan, can you come in here and I'm going to need you to go tell the guys, these are the 7 guys I need you to go cut.
Hey, Tom, I need you to come talk to Frank and bring your playbook, all right?
And thanks. I'm going to lunch.
Yes.
Second down.
If you could sit down with a group of Alabama and Auburn graduates today, what is one piece of advice that you would not fail to give them?
Now, these are not just like athletes, Bon. These are just your general college
graduate.
Well, I should have pre-read that one yesterday.
I don't know, man. That's
I would say my advice to them would be worry less. It's the great Hamilton line, right? Talk less, smile more.
Did Hamilton really say that?
Oh,
it's in the musical.
In the musical.
He kind of rapped it.
Talk less, smile more.
Yes. It's good advice.
It is good advice. Yeah. I like that piece of advice. I don't know. I'm conflicted on this one, Bun, because I would like to tell them, hey, before you get married and have kids, there are a lot of things in life you'd like to do. Go do those things, right? Like travel, places you want to see. But then I would also say, don't just burn through your 20s and not think about your future, because when you get in your 40s, You're going to want to have a retirement in sight, I think. So that's a conflicting message. So I would just tell them, try hard and don't do drugs.
Wow, I want to write that down.
Try hard. Do not do drugs. You don't want to do those.
Third down.
All right, what's the challenge? It can be a life challenge, sports, that you would undertake before you die. Would it be climbing a mountain, bungee jumping, or hanging with Lance on a weekend? Something like
I'm hung with Lance on a weekend. I survived that one.
One challenge that I'd want to do before I pass.
Yes.
Coachella.
Yeah, that would be fun, but I don't know if that's a challenge. I'd like to, with the right gear, the right vessel, and
vessel
and a good captain, I'd like to sail across the Pacific.
Boy, that's
right. We're going to go across the Atlantic, and we don't have the right gear.
A bad vessel.
We got a shabby-ass vessel.
But look at our cat. Oh, he's drunk.
Why the Pacific specifically?
Yeah, that is a good question for mine.
Better sunsets.
Okay.
What?
Third. Fourth down.
Real quick, yeah. I didn't do third down.
It's the clock.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jim, Captain. Were you ever going to take the boat over and say, I'd be Captain now?
If I had to.
So, I don't want to climb Mount Everest, but I think it would be fun. You can do the hike up to base camp. You can go to base camp.
Grow a beard and eat some noodles.
No, I think it looks fun. It's like a week-long hike up to base camp, and I think I'd enjoy doing that.
That's a Mitch Hedberg joke. Base camp seems fun. I don't want to do the hike.
Yeah, I just like to be dropped to base camp.
Fourth down.
All right, and finally, what is the one thing in life that you would say gives you the most fulfillment and meaning?
I had a good day on the golf course yesterday.
That is very fulfilling, isn't it? Yep.
Out at Bent Brook.
So of all the things in the world, you're going to go with a good day on the golf course.
That's right.
Well, I think
he's been once in like 6 years.
Hey, don't hand me my script. What are you doing with my script over there? Did you grill a steak?
Well, see, I was
Jim Brown.
I had good friends out there. Good weather. I mean, I think good times.
Make
with
any birdies?
Friends and family is always important.
How'd you putt?
I putted well.
I think when you become a parent, Bun, seeing your kids succeed in things and be happy. That gives me a great deal of fulfillment and meaning.
An expectation over the next 5 years, if you're Alan Green, if you're the Auburn fan base, knowing that you have just won an SEC regular season championship, the one I recognize.
Right. I think your expectation would be to win at least one more of those, because that's tough to do. I mean, Kentucky does it on the reg, obviously. But
I will tell you today, Joe Lunardi will put out his, after all these people staying in the draft or coming back out of the draft, his projected NCAA tournament field for next year. Auburn will be a really highly seeded team in that. So the expectations going in next year
one
is
or two
Auburn
seed.
To be a top 10, top 12 type basketball team.
Yeah, I think at least one more SEC regular season championship. I think at least two Sweet 16s. And I think at least a one seed somewhere, be a one or maybe a two. Maybe you might accept that.
Well, pairings in the NCAA tournament usually decide, you know, how far you go sometimes. If I said next 5 years, Bruce Pearl has Auburn in the Final Four.
Grand slam. I mean, Auburn's never been to the Final Four. What are you asking me? My reaction to that, or can it happen? I would say no.
Yeah. Because we've never seen
Auburn's never done it.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl's an exceptional basketball coach, but if you're asking me to bet on that in 5 years, I would bet against Auburn going to the Final Four.
Somebody doing space travel talk radio back in the 60s would have said, moon, come on.
Yeah.
Never seen it. How's
Why do
it
we even
happen?
Want to go to the moon?
Yeah.
I would bet against Auburn, frankly, Auburn or Alabama going to the Final Four. I mean, that's just the safer bet.
Because you've never seen it.
Yeah.
Elite Eight, though.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think they're an Elite Eight. With the roster they have, they're an Elite Eight level team this year.
Yeah, the expectation is almost that this year.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. When you look at Auburn's roster, with what they accomplished last year, with Bruce Pearl back on solid footing, none of that swirling around, with all these the players back off suspension, Austin Wiley coming back, and you've got everything back, add Samir Dowdy, subtract Mustafa Heron, that's an Elite Eight team to me. And it could be a Final Four team. I mean, this is the team that could prove me wrong right out of the chute about this. But I think they're definitely an Elite Eight level team.
Yeah.
So I would say Elite Eight this year, but I don't think you'll see them in the Final Four, no.
But if you're Elite Eight level, obviously you're good enough to get to the Final Four. You've got 40 minutes to try to prove that. It'll be interesting to see now that Alan Green has made this stand and said, man, Bruce Pearl's our ride or die. He's our guy. 2023, that contract extension, because he earned that on the court last year. Now this next cycle of recruiting, what can he do? He's got all these great players. He's been finding diamonds in the rough. Now he's won an SEC regular season championship. You know, no longer does he have to beat Coastal Carolina and Wofford for Bryce Brown. He can sort of farm a different fertile area of recruiting. He's got his roots planted in Auburn. It'll be interesting to see what kind of recruiting class he can bring in.
Though, I mean, that's what he's succeeded with of those guys. I mean, you know, obviously you want the McDonald's All-Americans, and Austin Wiley was a highly recruited guy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so.
But he does, the credit doesn't go as much to him for that as it should because of the Auburn ties with the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, he was an Auburn legacy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But he could have gone other places.
Daniel Carlson was an Alabama legacy, and Rashawn Evans was an Auburn legacy, and they ended up at the opposite school, so it's not always a guarantee.
Right.
But you're right. Having a legacy player generally helps you big time in recruiting.
You have to recruit him just as hard and
sometimes differently.
Just as rewarding to get him. You just don't get as much credit for that.
That said, you know, you want, like, the best player Bruce Pearl has ever coached is Chris Lofton, probably, right? I mean, that's the best player he's ever had. I mean, Chris Lofton was a phenomenal basketball player.
Yeah, one of the all-time SEC greats.
He was a Mr. Basketball in the state of Kentucky, but got overlooked by Kentucky at the time. And it was a steal by Bruce Pearl to do that. But those, to me, are the types of players that, for whatever reason, Kentucky decided they didn't want Chris Lofton. It was a huge mistake by Kentucky. Those are the guys Bruce Pearl, to me, for whatever reason, makes his career on. And I don't know if it's just his system. He's obviously a really good basketball coach. But he doesn't strike me as the guy that needs the McDonald's All-American to be successful, Dunaway. He's a guy that can take your Bryce Browns of the world and people like that and find success with them. I think in 5 years, if he's won another SEC championship, like you said, the regular season's the one we recognize, maybe throw in a tournament championship. Those are fun to win. Two Sweet 16s. We ultimately judge these guys based on what they do in the postseason. So if I told you in the next 5 years Auburn makes two Sweet 16s, is that acceptable? Is that meeting expectations? I mean, this is a pro. I'd have to look. Auburn's made, what, five Sweet 16s in their lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, I think you sit here now and you say two in the next 5 years. That is meeting my expectations. Because,
so that's expectation level.
Yeah.
Hi. My name is Buzz Billingsley, and I'm running to be your coroner. Now, you don't want just anyone to be elected to this highly sought-after position. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I have been to church many times. I often hold hands with my wife, Dixie. I have been arrested several times, but never convicted. My 10th grade science teacher once told me that I had a calm demeanor. I pump my own gas. I try my hardest to smile at least once a day. I have seen over 10 movies in the past 25 years. And I really enjoy the pop culture. I like to break the ice sometimes and say that your parents would just die if they met me. I would like to say a few things about my opponent, but I have absolutely no clue who I'm running against and just found out that you had to be elected to this position. So I'm Buzz Billingsley. And you can find me on the coroner of good faith and no other option. This ad is yet to be approved or endorsed by anyone associated with politics at any level.
Did you shoot a gun at all of that?
No.
He also said, he told me to include, I forgot to include it, but he is the Nick Saban of coroners.
Oh, is he now? Is it weird, too, that we still elect a coroner? Why is that an elected position?
Do we really elect coroners?
100% we do.
Yeah, we do.
Why is that an elected position, Reichstar?
Murphy explained it back in the, it's something that goes in the old days. I don't know, but we just never changed. It's an elected official. I don't know why.
Like,
so,
I am.
So Jim Dunaway could just sign up and run for state coroner?
No, it's a county position. I think you would probably have to qualify with some sort of medical background, would you not? Although we're just.
You guys in your paperwork.
I mean, we're just declaring somebody dead. It's not really a coin flip, right? Well, I mean, isn't that what the coroner does?
How many times on Trash on the Table do we have somebody. Usually not in the U.S., but somebody blowing that call.
But I just don't understand.
Buried alive.
I don't understand why it's an elected position. Like, I'm willing. It's a county position, right? So I'm willing for the county commission to say, okay, Sean Henniger can be our coroner. And until he screws one up, he's got the job.
Yep.
Till he buries. Be a bad screw up.
Until he buries somebody
Don
alive.
Smith. Yeah. All right, it was my bad, guys.
My bad. I'm stepping down. I mean, I'm willing to say that. We'll just take a coroner. We don't ever have to elect them again. They get one screw up, though. Until they mess one up, we're good.
I'm former Chilton County coroner. What happened?
Yeah, bad story.
You guys always going to go back to 2018. Jeez, move on.
Are you okay with Aaron Rodgers about to get a $32 million a year contract, passing Matt Ryan and I, not with Rodgers, because we all consider him the best skill-wise quarterback, but the fact that we're going to have our second $30 million a year quarterback where all the other positions have yet to hit $20 million.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's a quarterback's league, though. And we talked about it when Ryan got his deal, that Aaron Rodgers was on deck, and this only meant he was going to one-up Matt Ryan. But I think Rodgers is deserving of it. Who would you have as a higher-paid player? Tom Brady?
No.
I know what you're saying, though.
I'm just looking at it from Aaron Donald's point of view of the Rams. Wait, none of us are even making $20 million yet, and you guys are giving multiple quarterbacks $30 million a
year? You're not as important as a quarterback. I mean, that's what they're saying, but I think it's 100% true.
Yeah.
LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has added Norton Security to help protect you against cyber criminals. Protection for your identity and devices. Go to LifeLock.com, enter promo code RISK for an extra 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month. Terms apply.
By the way, Rockstar, give me cut to Aaron Rodgers on this new contract when he signs it today, later this week, whenever it happens, as they get ready for mandatory camp, says he does want to sign this contract and he wants to be a Packer for life.
Well, I'd like to. Mark Murphy and I have talked over the years about what it means to be a Packer for life. And when I first got to Green Bay, one of the fun things was to see, at the first Fan Fest I was at, to see Max McGee and Bart Starr and Jerry Kramer and Fuzzy Thurston and some of the old greats, and it'd be fun to have that connection.
That's Aaron Rodgers talking about being a Packer for life. Zach Miller, by the way, got injured last year with the Bears, had 9 surgeries since that October injury. The Bears did him a solid, signed him to a 1-year deal. Keeping him on the roster, league minimum, but they want to fight with him. I thought that was a pretty classy move from the Chicago Bears.
I agree.
All right, 36 after, your big headline, Casey Mize, the number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft last night. Bruce Pearl has a new contract. Auburn, Florida, South Carolina, Arkansas, Vandy, Mississippi State are your matchup in the Super Regional of the NCAA tournament. The Braves lose last night in San Diego, same time. Same team tonight, 9-10, Braves and Padres. And Florida State tries to win a national championship tonight in women's softball as they play Washington at 6 out in Oklahoma City. Those are your headlines in sports. But away from that, it's time for Trash on the Table. Rhonda is over in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Rhonda, how are you?
Well, I actually have driven to Clanton today. Beautiful downtown Clanton.
Oh, we love Clanton.
The first thing that comes to my mind when I hear about these upstart leagues are the guys from Last Chance U.
That's an interesting thought, like a John Franklin III.
Yes.
Yeah.
Junior college players who, you know, they struggle to keep their grades up just to get into a Division I school. They really have no intention of doing anything other than trying to play football. And so this sounds like a perfect fit for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Rhonda.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, you know, because right now you've got to be out of high school. You've got to be 3 years removed from high school, Dunaway. Then that's an NFL Players Union negotiated rule in the NFL rule book, basically, right?
That's NFL rule.
Yeah, it's not the NCAA saying that. They have no power over it. The NCAA doesn't have power over the one and done. They don't have power over how quickly you can be NFL eligible. That's the NFL that does that. So these leagues, in theory, could make any rule they want. And Cole said he thinks to survive, one of them's got to take guys straight from high school. These wouldn't even be straight from high school guys. A lot of these guys, some of them are. Maybe some of them play a year there. Some of them have played at a college and have to go there as they buy time to get to a college.
But I think junior college is a great point Rhonda's making. There is a wealth of talent at a lot of these places that are at junior college for a reason. Some go there academically. Some go there because there wasn't a scholarship for them at a Division I school that they wanted to go to. And some are there because they got in trouble and went to junior college and are trying to get their life back in the right path. And this is a league that may be there for them. But it's going to be a talent-driven league. And the XFL is too. It's not like you're going to, you go back to the old XFL days, the He Hate Me guy. Was a really talented football player.
Yeah, Rod Smart.
It's
funny how I don't know how many people remember his actual name, and exactly. I don't know why I do. He played in the NFL, though.
But he went on to the NFL, yep. I think with the Eagles, right?
Yeah, either them or the Panthers won.
Yeah, or the Panthers. It's a good point. Good pull there.
I think it was the Panthers. Yeah.
Maybe both. But he went on and played later on. You've got to have...
It actually was both. Very good, Jeff.
You've got to have a certain level of talent to make it. These are still a professional football league. And we'll have that debate at some point, I'm sure. Can SEC champion beat the Alliance champion?
But, I mean, I just gave you a good example of a guy that could be in this league, and Jeff Holland. Jeff Holland's a good football player.
I find it hard. When you brought him up, I didn't want to put on my orange and blue glasses, but I find it hard to believe Jeff Holland went undrafted and will not stick on an NFL roster.
But you know the uphill climb an undrafted free agent has to make an NFL roster. I mean, you know the numbers on that.
I feel like somehow they have missed on this guy.
That 32 teams just screwed up and then they're going to get him an account. And that may be the case. That's happened.
And I know that doesn't happen often, but
it has.
Feels like they have missed on this guy.
But if you had a league of Jeff Hollands, look, here is the problem with the XFL, the Alliance of American Football, and the USFL.
Well, the XFL took a big step today, Brown, with that Oliver Luck hiring. That is resonating. It is now the number one story on ESPN.com. The XFL stock in the last hour has gone way up.
You're right. But even Oliver Luck can't fix what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And it's the problem with all these leagues. There aren't 32 starting quarterbacks even in the NFL. So quarterback play has always plagued these leagues. It's what killed the XFL. One of the things that killed the XFL is they didn't have quality quarterback play.
See, I disagree that the way we play football now, the quarterback position, there's more talent to the quarterback position because we're letting more people play quarterback. And I don't want to sound like Cole Kublik here, but I've said this before, back in our AM days, I don't think there is quality enough offensive linemen to protect against, let me put it this way, the level of defensive players that don't make roster is higher than the level of offensive player that doesn't make a roster.
So a non-roster Jeff Holland is better than a non-roster offensive lineman,
100%.
Okay.
The non-roster defensive lineman and linebacker is more athletic and more talented than the non-roster offensive lineman, and that makes for dirty offensive football, and that's why these leagues are not as entertaining. Is when I watched the XFL and I did the sideline radio for them, it wasn't the quality of quarterback play.
Casey Weldon was the quarterback.
Yeah, it wasn't quality of receiver. It wasn't quality of running back. It wasn't quality of defensive lineman, linebacker, DB. It was the quality of offensive lineman. And if you can't block, then there's no fluidity to the offense, and then it's boring football.
But here's the thing, and as I said what I was saying and you started to disagree, I thought you were going to go this route and you were going to be right if you did. And you're probably right about that, too. I don't disagree with what you said.
Well, I'm 100% right
about
the offensive
lineman. Okay, that's fine. I don't disagree with you. But if this league is willing to bend a little bit on their offensive philosophy and have a philosophy that matches what we're seeing in college football, where I don't have to fit a 6'3 to 6'7 window with a cannon arm to play quarterback, but I can be a Kyler Murray.
No.
This league can survive, but
we're doing that in the NFL now.
Well, they're starting to, but you're still going to have guys that are hesitant to do it.
No, we are moving to having guys like, Cam Newton was he's a big guy, but he's a guy that rocket arm and can run the football. Russell Wilson was a little mobile, undersized guy, but his mobility helped him a little bit to start with. I think Lamar Jackson will have a real shot in the National
Football League.
First-round
draft pick, yeah. I mean, he's a first-round pick. But my point is, you see all these guys are former NFL coaches, so they've all come from a conservative or a pro-style offensive system. That's all these guys ever coached. So that's why I wonder if this league will embrace that, Jim, because you're getting the Mike Martzes and the Mike Singletaries and the Brad Childresses of the world that coached when the league wasn't accepting to that.
You've got to embrace the Johnny Manziels, the Baker Mayfields.
See, I agree with you. I think that makes you a more entertaining league, and it opens the door for you to have better quarterback play and better offense than what you're talking about.
But if you don't have an offensive line, you need guys that can run and get away from these big defensive linemen.
Well, that's more exciting.
The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.